John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let's stand, please, for the responsive reading of this passage. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And let's pray.
15. And my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You read it right. Ask what you will. You heard it right. Ask for anything you want, and you can have it. You say, preacher, does that mean ask for anything you want? Well, it's what it says. Ask for anything you want. Similar verse is found in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But I want to focus our attention on John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Ask what you want, and it shall be done unto you. That means anything. That means you can have any car you want. I'm going to teach you this morning how to have any car you want. I'm going to teach you this morning how to have any house you want. I'm going to teach you this morning how to have any clothing that you want. I'm going to teach you this morning how to have all and any jewelry that you want. I'm going to teach you this morning how to have any furniture that you want. You name it, you can have it. The Bible says it. There's a way you can have everything you want and more. Now, it's very simple. Two simple steps. Step one, ye abide in me. Jesus says, you don't visit me, you live in me. I mean, you don't just come to see me on Sunday morning, you abide in me. You don't just come into my presence at 10:45 on Sunday morning. You stay in my presence all the time. You abide in me. Now, step number two. And my words abide in you. Now, folks, as simple as that. If you abide in him, and this book abides in you, you have anything you want. What it says. Old Dr. Rice used to say, but is that what it means? Well, Dr. Rice says, we'll say what it says right now and get to what it means later on. But the honest truth is, that's what it says. And that's what it means. It means if you do those two simple things, you abide in Christ, and his word abide in you. That means you can ask anything you want to ask, and God will give it to you. That means you can have anything that you want. Drive any car you want to drive. Buy any house you want to buy. Wear any clothes you want to wear. Jingle any jewelry you want to jingle. Have any furniture you want to get. If you abide in Christ and his word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Now, it's a gradual process. I want you to follow this gradual process. There are several steps to it. Follow me very carefully. Step number one you don't want what you have. Now, that's where you are this morning. You don't want what you have. You want the next thing that you don't have. We're going to take you right where you are. And I'd like for you not to take notes. This is not a classroom. It's a preaching service. And I want to change your life, not your notebook. The first thing, God, that's where He finds you. God finds us there. And that's where, I hate to say it, that's where most of us are right now. I said the first place that God finds us is you don't want what you have. You want the next thing that you don't have. And that's why you're not content. You know what contentment is? This is worth your listening to carefully. Contentment is when your desires and acquisitions are equal. When your desires and your acquisitions are equal. In other words, when you get what you want. But you see, God comes this morning and God finds you not satisfied with what you have. You want the next thing you don't have. But here's the thing about it. When you get the next thing you don't have that you want, you still want what you have. You'll want the next thing you don't have. Then you get the next thing you don't have. And you won't want what you got, you'll want the next thing you don't have. Mrs. McKinney was saying something, and I could underline it and say amen. And I give it to you because it's so seldom Mrs. McKinney ever says anything worth quoting. But she said something. She said, I almost cried. The Dan Johnsons are here, and we didn't fix up the Waldorf Astoria, and they're not living in a Holiday Inn. They're living in a Holiday's Inn. But they're living out in as they did last time, they're on furlough years ago. They're living out in Baptist City, and one that we took, I think, two of the apartments, didn't we, Dan, and cut a wall, a door between two of the apartments, and furnished it modestly, neatly, but modestly, and we provided them a car to drive for the year furlough they'll have. And it's not an elaborate car, it's a nice little car, but it's nothing fancy. And Mrs. McKinney said, when I talked to the Johnsons and told them about it, she said, Brother Hiles, I could have just cried. She said, you thought they were living in a mansion. She said, it's so refreshing to find people that are so grateful. And it's not a great deal. But to them, it seemed like we had prepared for them a mansion in which to live. And I felt the same way. They were so grateful and so kind and gracious. Now, you see, here's where God finds us. Here's where most of us are this morning. From childhood, little children, same way. They play with one, I want that toy in the window. They get that toy in the window in 5 minutes, I want that toy in the window. And the only difference in children and adults, and that the toys in the windows are bigger than they get bigger, that's all. I want that little car in the window, says the boy. I want that big car in the window, says his dad. But the little boy gets the little car. He doesn't want the little car again. He wants another car. And dad gets the big car. He doesn't want the car again. He wants another car. I'm saying that God finds us there. Oh, follow me now. I'm not to the message yet, so follow me. God comes to place and He finds you not wanting what you have. You want the next thing you don't have. Now, what do? You abide in Christ. His Word abides in you. And that leads us to the next step. You then want what you have. You want what you have. When you abide in Christ, His Word abides in you, God takes you, the first step now, He takes you from not wanting what you have, but wanting the next thing you don't have, to the next step, and that is, you want what you have. In other words, God does not let you have what you want, He lets you want what you have. Same thing. All we're trying to do is equal the equation. We're trying to make the acquisition equal to the wants. We're trying to make the have equal to the desires. We're trying to make the fulfillment equal to the appetite. So God comes to you and finds you wanting what you're not wanting what you have and wanting what you don't have.
God says, if you'll abide in me and let my word abide in you, that doesn't mean you read two chapters a day, folks. That doesn't mean you pray 10 minutes a day, people. It means if you live in Christ, if you walk with Christ, and His Word abides in you, you live in Him, His book lives in you. He says, the first thing I'll do, I will change it from what you're not wanting what you have until you wanting what you have, and I will not give you what you want, I'll make you want what you have. And either way, you're happy. I mean, the fellow lives in a $40,000 house that wants a $40,000 house. He's as happy as the fellow lives in a $250,000 house that wants a $250,000 house. But the fellow lives in a $250,000 house doesn't want that. He wants a $500,000 house. Well, say, if you live in the house you want, it costs you $250,000. And the fellow lives in a $40,000 house, then that's what he wants. He's as happy as the fellow that has the $250,000 house. So if God can do one or two things, if God can give you what you want, then God can equal the equation. Or if God can make you want what you have, you can be just as happy. If you abide in Him, His Word abides in you, and then you decide that you want what you already have, you're as happy as you would have been if you got what you wanted, and probably happier because if you got what you wanted, you'd want something else you don't have. Now follow me. Step number three, then He tells you what to want. He tells you what to want. Now follow me, this is great. He tells you what to want. God comes here up and He says to you, if you'll abide in me and my word abide in you. Okay, what God will do? He'll find you not wanting what you have, but wanting something you don't have. And then He will take you from there, if you abide in Him, His word abide in you, He'll take you from there to making you want what you want. But it doesn't stop there. I'm going to go a lot farther than that. He'll take you to where you want what you have. But now, anybody's going to need something else sometime and want something else. So in the future, okay, the car wears out. You want the car you got, but the car wears out. It won't run anymore. You just sit there. It won't even run downhill. And you just sit there in the car. You've got to have a new car. So what does God do? God not only first takes you from where you were, not wanting what you have, but wanting what you don't have. He takes you to wanting what you have, and then He tells you what to want. That's what Psalm 37:4 really means. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Which means that doesn't mean God just gives you what you want, it means God arranges your water. You see, my appetites come from God. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the appetites of thy heart. He'll give thee the cravings of thy heart. Now look, all we're trying to do, people, is be content. And all we have to be content is be sure that our acquisitions over here equal our desires over here. When the possessions can equal the appetites, then you're happy. I don't care how little you have, how much you have. The fellow who lives in a little hut in Africa somewhere, if all he wants is a hut, he's as happy as the fellow who lives in a mansion in New York City, if that's what he wants. So, God comes down and God says, okay, as far as what you have now, I will not give you what you want, I'll make you want what you have, and now then, you're satisfied with what you have and the equation balanced. But God says, not only that, number three, I will give you your desires. I will tell you what to want. Isn't that good? See, if God tells me what to want, then all my wants are spiritual. All of my wants are of God. So I say, God, all I've got to do is abide in you, and your word abide in me. Then you take me from wanting something I do not have to wanting what I have, and then you also tell me what I'm supposed to want. And that takes us to point number four. And that is, then He gives you what you want. See? You knew there's a trick to it, didn't you? You knew that new house was going to go out the window before we got through, didn't you? You knew that Trans Am, what kind of car he got? Camaro. Was going to go. You knew that boat was going to go, didn't you? The altar is right here. But, that Camaro. You knew that Trans Am car was gone, that Mercedes Benz. A while ago when I said you can have anything you want, man, flashing eyes. But that's the truth. But, you see, what God knows, if He gave you what you wanted, you'd want something else. So God knows the safest way to make you happy, and the only way to balance the equation is not to give you what you want, but make you want what you have, and then your wants are in His hands, and God puts the wants in you. That means if I abide in Christ, and His Word abides in me, that means that anything that I want is what He tells me to want. He controls my wants. Here's what it amounts to. He trusts you then. He trusts you. God comes along and says, okay, ask what you want. You say, I'm 21 years old and I want a new Cadillac car, Seville. That's second car. First car I want is a Mercedes Benz. Now, I won't go into that. I was going to criticize both those cars. But to me, I don't see any difference. I really don't. You could put one of those little V doojiggers or on the front of a Ford, what do you call it? What is a Ford car that's a little boxy? Granada? Yeah. You could put me a Granada and put one of those little Mercedes-Benz doojiggers out on the front there, and I'd think I was a Mercedes-Benz. He works at the Ford Motor Company. All right, he draws his pay there. But you see, I mean, just don't criticize him. Some folks sell liquor, some folks sell Fords. I mean, that's all. But the honest truth is, all you got to do, folks, is get your wanter and your haver equal. That's all you got to do. Happiest folks in the world, not folks have the most. It's the folks that want the least. So if God can come along and say, if I gave you what you want, it wouldn't satisfy you because every time you get what you want something else. He said, if you'll abide in me, let my word abide in you. He said, I'll make you want what you have. And that's just as good. And then He said, in every acquisition in the future, I will control your desires, and delight thyself also the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He shall give thee the appetites of thy heart. By the way, this is not beneath you, theologian. This is not beneath you. The truth is, you're sitting out there with a frown on your face right now. I mean, that's the way you can be happy. That's the way you can come to church and want to hear what the preacher said. That's the way you can come to church and rejoice. I mean, I'm simply saying that this old world is dying today because we want it, we get it, we want it, we get it, we want it, we get it, we want it, we get it. Why don't you put your wanter in control of the master wanter and let Him tell you what to want? So what happens? He comes and He finds you. And here you are. You don't want what you have. You want something else. But you get on your knees and decide to live in Christ and abide in Christ. Let Him control your life. Give your will to him. Let His will be your will. Let His desire be your desire. Let His purpose be your purpose. Let His work be your work. And live in His book. Read His book more than you watch the television and listen to the radio and read the magazines and read the newspaper altogether. You live in His book. His book abides in you. And you abide in His book. And then what does God do? God comes and finds you now. And you want what you don't have. You don't want what you want. You want something else. But God comes along and says, okay, next thing I'm going to do to you, I'm gonna make you want what you have. And the next thing He says, I'm gonna give you what to want. And the next thing He says, then I'll give you what you want. God can trust you. Now God can't trust you right now. Most of us, God can't trust us to ask anything we want. That's why God didn't say if you're a Christian. No place in the Bible says if you are a Christian, ask what you will. God doesn't say that. God can't trust you with that. He can't trust you with Aladdin's lamp. He can't trust you with it, with a carte blanche. He can't do that. You'd ask for something that'll kill you. You'd ask for some things you don't want to need. Ask for things that would make you happy. Ask some things that destroy your character. Ask some things that destroy your children. Ask some things that destroy your family. You'd ask for things you don't need. And you wouldn't want them when you got them. And God comes along and says, I can't give you a carte blanche just because you're saved. But he said, if you'll abide in me, live in me, and God knows that's what we need as some fundamental believers who live in Christ, and his book lives in us. And he says, if you'll do that, I'll give you a signed check. You can just fill it out. Because your wanter is sanctified then, and your appetite creator is sanctified because you live in me and my words live in you. Now let me go to the next point. He finds you not wanting what you have, but wanting something else. Number two, he then helps you to want what you have. Number three, then he tells you what to want. Number four, then he gives you what you want because he created the appetite. God never creates an appetite that he does not offer its fulfillment and satisfaction. That's one reason why I know there's a God. Because the most heathen man, the most primitive man in America worships some form of a God. And I'll guarantee you, man would not have the appetite for God unless there were a God. And not only that, you can go anywhere you want to. And I have been over much of this world. And I'll guarantee you, you can go to the most primitive tribes in the world. I was up in Alaska, and boy, there's no place any more primitive than there are places. I was at a place in Alaska. You can't get there. They can't get out of that little town except by a rowboat, by a raft, a rowboat. There are no roads leading out of that town. We got there because we flew in a little airplane and landed out there on a little straight piece of land. A place named Rampart, Alaska. But I don't care where you go. You can go to the most primitive places in the world. They're offering up sacrifices. There's something inside of man intuitively that makes him, one, believe in a God, and two, believe that he needs to sacrifice something, must die for his sins. And God created that appetite in man, and the appetite for belief in God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and the appetite for a sacrifice is fulfilled in him about whom John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Now, folks, you're never going to be happy. You get your desires and your possessions equal. That's what contentment is. Contentment is, I don't want anything. That's contentment. Like what I got. Don't want anything else. Have no covetousness. By the way, covetousness is probably the root of every sin in the world. I have no covetousness. I have no envy. There's nothing you want that you have that I want. There's nothing anybody has that I want. There's no place you get to go I want to go. There's no thing you own I want. I want what I have. I want I want to be me. I want to be where I am. I want to live in my house. I want to drive my car. I want to wear my clothes. I don't want anything. Let me illustrate. I don't know why I should. John Olson said this morning, walked out, said, "Preach, that sure is a pretty suit." I said, didn't tell him the whole story, but somebody gave me $50 and said, "Buy you something. If you can buy a pair of shoes, buy a pair of shoes. But anything you want." That has just been 10 years ago. I was taking a walk in Tallahassee, Florida. Took a long walk, came to a little shopping center. One had about 8 stores. Walked by a little Western store there. It was about the size of the choir up here, a little bigger, I guess, a little hole-in-the-wall Western store. I walked in to see what I couldn't afford. And I don't ever worry about walking in a place like that because I never see anything I want. So I saw this suit. Sign said $300. Well, I thought about going to the bank and getting a 20-year loan. Fella said that suit's on sale, $49.95. So I bought a pair of shoes. This is it. I'm saying, I don't want anything. And by the way, this is psychological. But look, ladies and men, you say, "I've got to have me a new suit. I've got to have me a new dress." Go look for one and you won't find one. But if you don't want anything and just go strolling, you'll bump into exactly. Of course, if you look for it, you'll find what you want, but it's not your size. It don't come that big. But I'm saying that God comes along and God says, "Abide in me, Let my word abide in you. I'll make you want what you have. Then I'll create the wants. And by the way, when I create the wants, I can lead you to where it is. Isn't it good? I mean, God says, if you abide in me, let my words abide in you. You won't want anything you don't have. You'll want what you have. Then I'll tell you what else to want. Then I'll lead you to what else you want. I know where it is. I know where the satisfaction is. And it just keeps that way. God says, here, I want to give you a want, and you have it. He says, here, here's what you wanted. Let me give you another one. You have it. Here, here's what you wanted. I'll give you another one. You have it. Here's what you wanted. You say, preacher, how do you get that? You abide in Christ and let His Word abide in you. Now, you folks that don't, listen, you folks don't come back to church on Sunday night, don't come to church on Wednesday night, don't you expect there to be happy? You won't. You'll be temporarily delighted when you get it. Until it gets a scratch on the door. Or until the first notice comes due that your payment is past due. Or until you buy that dress and you walk in church and the lady right in front of you has got one just like it. I mean, folks, it's a never-ending rat race when you've got to have something else and you get it and you got to have something else. But the Bible said, God said, if you live in me, abide in me, let me be your life, and let this book dwell in you, abide in you, and eat it, and feast on it, and memorize it, and love it, and obey it, and follow it, and meditate on it. God said, I'll give you anything you want, because I can trust you then. Because when you do that, I am going to provide your appetite, and once I provide your appetite, then I'll provide the satisfaction of that appetite. Which leads us to step number 5. We're getting down to my favorite part of this thought. Step number 1 was, you abide in Christ and His Word abides in you. He finds you wanting what you don't have, don't wanting what you have. Then He takes you, first step number 1, to wanting what you have. He doesn't give you what you want, He makes you want what you have. Step number 3, He tells you then what else to want. Step number 4, He provides then for what you want. Step number 5, I love this. Then you want less than you have. That's a wonderful feeling. Then you want less than you have. You don't want everything you have. All of a sudden, things that you have, you don't want them anymore. I mean, you don't mind having them, but they don't mean much to you. You see, once you start abiding in Christ, that takes care of these wild appetites. That takes care of, Linda and Cindy told me, said, Dad, the woman's place is in the mall. And that takes care of that. I want it. And listen, the most miserable people in the world are those that have the most of their wants. Because when you get more of your wants, you can afford then bigger wants. And there's no stopping until you abide in Christ. I said abide in Christ. I didn't say come to church an hour on Sunday. I said abide in Christ. I didn't say read the Bible 2 chapters a day. I said abide in Christ. I didn't say now, lay me down to sleep. Say 5 minutes prayer before you go to bed. God's great, God's good, let's thank Him for the grub. I didn't mean that. I'm talking about living in Christ, and His book lives in you. God says if you'll do that, I'll bring your wants down, bring your acquisition down to fit your appetite. And I'll make you want what you have. Then He said, anything else that you may acquire later on, I will give you the appetite. I'll give you your hunger. I'll tell you what to get hungry for. And when I tell you what to get hungry for, then I will give you and provide for you anything you ask for, because I can trust you then to ask for what you need instead of the wild desires you had back yonder before I came and before you started abiding in me. And then number 5, then you want less than you have. And then number 6, then you see somebody who needs what you have. And number 7, you want Him to have it. You give it to Him. And folks say, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. That's the most unselfish man I ever saw in my life. That's the most unselfish woman I ever saw in my life. It's not unselfish. Giving away what you don't want ain't unselfish. Look, I'm no example of this, but I'm almost 60. I'm older than most of you are, and I think I may have learned a little more about this than most of you have. I don't know a single thing I own I really want. And if you want it, you can have it. You say, my most unselfish thing I ever heard said. No, it's not unselfish. If you don't want it. Anything I own, if I gave it to you, wouldn't be any more unselfish than a kid giving a broken toy to the fire department for Christmas time. You don't want it anymore. You don't want it. Why? Because you live in Christ and the Bible lives in you, and God comes along and finds you not wanting what you have but wanting what you don't have, and God comes along and He says, okay, first thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to give you what you want, I'm going to make you want what you have, and then He says, I'll tell you what else to want, then I'll supply the what else you want because I told you what to want, now I'll give you what you wanted, what you asked for. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself wanting less than you have, and then you find somebody else who needs what you have, or maybe he even just wants what you have. You give it to him. I want to say this. A person like that doesn't deserve any credit. No sacrifice if you don't want it. It's Christmas time. We're going to take up a Thanksgiving time. We're going to take up a food shower for the poor folks on Thanksgiving. So you bring your usual gift. The old rusty can of off-brand sauerkraut. It's got salmonella poison in it. Salmonella, is that the word? Salmonella? Anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. You bring that plus three old cans of hominy that you inherited from your great-grandfather. Or they may be the same cans of sauerkraut and hominy that you got years ago. Somebody else gave them for a Thanksgiving meal, and you didn't eat them. You just kept them, and now you give them away. And here you come down. You leave your sauerkraut and your hominy at the altar. Does everybody say, oh, what a sacrificial person. I just never saw anybody like you. You just live for others. My, what a sacrificial person and what an unselfish person you are to give those sauerkraut and hominy that was canned in 1832. Nobody says that. Well, you say, I don't want this stuff anyhow. I don't want it. Okay. Suppose it's a new car that you give away. And you didn't want it anymore. Another fellow wanted sauerkraut. Is that unselfish? No. It's God that deserves the credit. He's the guy that gave you these stupid appetites. It's God that has done a work of grace in your life. You deserve no credit for it when you share and give. You deserve no credit for it. All you did was abide in Christ and let His Word abide in you. And when you did that, He came and found you not satisfied with what you have, but wanting what you don't have. And as you began to abide in Christ, all of a sudden He made you want what you have. And then He said, for anything in the future you might need, I'll put the wants inside of you. And then He said, I will also satisfy those wants because I put them there. Then He said, I'll also make you lose the desire for all that you have. And if you've lost the desire for it, it's no big deal to give it away. Somebody else that wants it. And then somebody says, I need that. Or you hear that they might need it. And you say, well, it doesn't mean much to me. Don't you realize that song I closed out with, quoting last week, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strange to them. Do you know what that's talking about? That's talking about this same subject. If you will abide in Christ and look at Him and abide in Him and His Word abide in you, you can have anything you want. Because He controls your wants. And the day comes, you don't want anything. And as you give and give and give,
all of a sudden, you notice somebody else over beside you doing the same thing. You look over and you say, who are you? He reaches out to shake your hand and you find there's a scar in his hand. And he walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own and the joys we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. You can have anything you want. Two things. Abide in Christ. Let his word abide in you. You can live in any house you want to live in. Drive any car you want to drive. Wear any clothes you want to wear. Wear any jewelry that you want to wear. Any furniture you want. Anything your little heart desires, you can have it. If you abide in Christ and His Word abide in you. He'll come to you right where you are this morning. Most of us this morning are right here. Wish I had a nice house like so-and-so has. By the way, I won't go to that. I wish I could drive the car he drives. I wish I wouldn't like that. God comes along and says, how would you like to have anything you want?
Boy, that's me. Hey, you sure got the right fella, God. Boy, just let me know how to do it, and I'll start writing out my request right now.
Okay. First, you abide in me. Let my word abide in you. Lord, I've been doing that. And I don't want that car I thought I wanted. In fact, I've been noticing advantages of the one I got. In fact, I like the one I got better than that one I used to want. I'm content. I like what I got. But Lord, what do I do when this one wears out? He said, nothing wears out. I'll put the appetite in you, and I'll put in you the desire for another one. Well, that's mighty good. Well, where am I going to get it? Well, he said, I'm not going to create an appetite I don't satisfy. I'll give you what you want, but I'm going to control what you want. Lord, I got that now. What do I do now? Lord, I'll tell you what, I got two cars here. I don't want but one. Well, by the way, I know a fellow needs one. You see, you can have anything you want. And that's contentment, ladies and gentlemen. Contentment. Sometimes look at the clothes Jack DeCoster wears. Guy's worth millions. Millions. I wish I could tell you the allowance Mrs. Russell Anderson gets. Buys her clothes at Kmart. There's a way. I'm not against buying your clothes somewhere else. I mean, all the way to Sears, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a way that you can be contented. But there's no way apart from your abiding in Christ. You can't generate this. You can't work it up. You can't go to a place and learn how to not want something else. This supernatural work of God. You abide in Him. He abides in you. He finds you not wanting what you have, but something else. He makes you satisfied with what you have. He tells you what to want later. He gives you then what you want. Then He makes you not even want what you have. And then you start sharing it and passing it out. It's time for a little silent sermon again. It's been a couple of years since I preached it. Secret to the Christian life. Maybe the best sermon I have. I'll preach it to you again this morning. I won't say a word, but I'll show you the secret of the Christian life. You just saw the difference between the happy folks and the unhappy people, and the contented folks and the folks who are discontented. Our Father,